We are going to talk here a little bit about a contract that was approved this week by the City Commission. I know you approached them earlier this year for some additional funding over 5 years and had a modified request, I guess, this week. Is that right?
Yeah. So I guess going back, about four years ago, my predecessor, Lyle Butler, as well as some of the leadership in the community, recognized that we'd hit a plateau, a wall, however you want to address it, and that we needed to look at ways to do things differently if we wanted to compete in the global marketplace. And as we looked at the numbers, the things that stood out, as we talked about earlier, stagnation and job growth. So we were flat, lower than expected average wages. While most university communities have lower wages than maybe their non-university peers because of students and services and those kind of things, we were seeing ours were trailing even our university peers. And then, quite frankly, we were experiencing some stagnant population growth. And, you know, the great thing, as we mentioned earlier, about a university community is, and I've been accused sometimes as we've talked about this of being negative, you know, the great thing is we have a way to fix those problems. And to me, that's not a negative. To me, that's, hey, let's figure this out. We have all the tools necessary that we can turn those trends around. The negative would be if you were in a community that you were experiencing those trends and you had there was nothing you could do to stop it. And there are some places in this part of the country, and you know, my hometown is a little town in southwest Oklahoma that has struggled for a number of years in these same issues, but they can't really do anything about it. We have the opportunity here that we can turn that around. So we put together a large group of people from a lot of different sectors, and brought in one of the most well-known and respected groups in the country that works on economic development strategies for communities. And we had over 2,000 people participate in that process, and they identified the same challenges that I think our leadership had seen and came to this solution that there were three ways we could address this problem. Number one is economic diversification. So we need to add more jobs. And not that we would love to have more government jobs too, because jobs are great, but what can we do to leverage the things that we have to attract jobs maybe that aren't as reliant on public sector funding so that when you have something maybe goes up, the other goes down, they kind of offset each other. And then also, what can we do to help our existing businesses grow and succeed? And so there was a strategy built around that. There's a strategy built around talent sustainability. In the same way there's a global competition for jobs, there is a global competition for talent. And I think we've seen it just in the last week with Topeka announcing their initiative that they will give grants to businesses as they recruit new people to Topeka. That's a program that they've copied off of some other communities that have done similar things. We have the advantage here is we already have them. Right. So there's a lot of places that most talented people wouldn't even think about moving to. Fortunately for us, we get 4,000 to 5,000 new people every year. And so we just have to do a better job of retaining. And so there's a number of different strategies that help us do that. And we do need to attract some too. The last item is, and not the least important, but is entrepreneurship. So and I always use the example of, if you take a look at our larger employers, larger private employers, and you look at Civic Plus, and you look at GTM, and you look at Manco, those are three, and there's others, but those are kind of the three most visible that either are currently still entrepreneurial ventures or started as entrepreneurial ventures. And so as you watch that, it's much easier and quite frankly a better investment for a community to try to encourage startups that grow into those kind of companies than try to go out and recruit a company that's already that size. The investment is usually less and the payoff is usually much larger. And you can see that when you look at the entrepreneurs in the community and the other things that they do as well, right? They don't just create jobs and run their business. They're also contributing to nonprofits and investing in improving downtown and, I mean, a number of different other things. And so those three things were identified as what we could do to overcome these challenges. The problem was we don't have the resources as an organization to implement the strategy. So we started down the road because we felt like it was really important to hit the ground running, spending some of our existing resources to begin addressing these challenges. And I feel like that we were in connection with the commission through this process, what we were doing, why we were doing it, and that at some point we would like to come talk to the commission again about ways that we can partner to implement the entire strategy. And so initially, Market Street, who was the group that did our strategy, estimated that we would need to generate or raise an additional $600,000 a year. We went in and prioritized our own budgets, prioritized our own expenditures, and were able to cut that back to about half of that. And so we went to the commission. Well, we went to the commission in July and said, we're ready to implement Region Reimagined fully. We're going to come back in the fall and talk to you about it. And at that time, they were very receptive to that. We went back in October. Timing is obviously everything. Everybody was thinking about the sales tax, the 3/10 sales tax to pay for projects. And there was a general feeling that a number of these projects were imminent and there was going to have to be a funding strategy for all these projects right away. I think what happened in the interim, obviously the sales tax didn't pass, but what happened in the interim is some flexibility came about in terms of paying for the projects. At the same time, we came back with a much more specific request as to what we would be spending the money for. The years in my mind, and it became an issue in October because I think it was proposed as 5 years. The years in my mind was never an issue because the commission has a right every year to end our contract. So, you know, and so we said, yeah, we've said 5 years because it matched the 5-year strategy. But at the same time, we also understand every year we have to come back up here and prove to you that we did the things we were going to do with the funding. But I think it meant a lot to say, okay, we're going to do this for 2 years. And I think that that was a more palatable, as they mentioned, a more palatable opportunity. They're all very supportive. They've told us privately. They've told us publicly that they are very supportive of trying to turn these trends around and the Region Reimagined strategy. I don't think the fact that they initially decided not to fund the project in October was any indication that they were negative towards the program. I just think it had to do with timing. It had to do with how it was presented, the specificity of where the funds were going to go. And so that's kind of what we did and came back and talked about how we were going to address those three issues and the very specific items that we were going to spend the money for.
All right. Well, how much of that goes towards marketing, like national marketing, getting Manhattan's name out
yeah.
there?
Yeah. Well, so we've already dedicated some of our existing funding to that. So of our total budget, we'll probably specifically for marketing to businesses, we'll probably see about 10% of that go towards that. We are going to be a lot more thoughtful about how we do that moving forward. So first of all, for the very first time, we are doing this in conjunction with Pottawatomie County. So all of our external marketing to business attraction is being done in concert with the Pottawatomie County Economic Development Corporation, Jack Alston. That's a unique model. It is probably the best partnership I've been involved with in my 25 years in this business. I mean, Jack and I think the same. We have the same goals and the same thoughts, and so we are going to be a lot more targeted, though, into the industries that we feel like match Manhattan's culture, right? So we just recently completed a target industry analysis, and it was very clear that animal health, crop and grain science, and ag products were the three main areas that we should focus our attention. So we're not going to run ads in magazines, and we're not going to do sort of the what people used to do back in the 80s and 90s. We're going to identify companies that maybe don't even never heard of Manhattan, certainly may not recognize they should be here, and we're going to knock on the doors and say, you guys need to consider Manhattan as a location. And we're going to be a lot more aggressive on that, but a lot more targeted, right? So more rifle approach instead of the shotgun approach. So it'll be roughly 10%. We also are going to focus very, very, very heavy for the first time in a while on making sure that we are in constant communication with our existing employers, because the numbers say 80 to 90% of your new jobs are created by existing businesses. What can we do to help those existing businesses grow and succeed? The other thing, reason that's important, I've worked on, you know, 7, 8, 9 major attraction projects in my career. Every time that a company was considering moving to your community, they wanted to talk to your existing employers. Number one, they want to know if we're telling them the truth, right? So, you know, we're chamber people, and they get a lot of chamber speak when they're looking at these issues, and so they want to verify the information that you've told them is correct. But the second thing is they want to know culturally, is our business a fit in this community? And the only way they really feel like they're going to be able to get those answers is talking to existing employers. And so it all is interconnected, and it all goes together. But attraction is important, and we're going to be a lot more focused and make sure that we're talking to companies who should be in Manhattan.
You know, Jason, we have seen year after year the kind of promotion that you can't pay for when you come up with, when you see some of these lists that come out from like livability.com. And Manhattan is, I think this year was like number 2 in the list of most livable cities in the USA, and, you know, in best college towns, that list as well. How do you utilize that kind of recognition in your recruiting efforts?
Yeah. So, first of all, I think they're really important for a community to feel better about themselves, right?
I think
it's always great when you can promote that within the community, because a community is basically what their citizens project. And if the citizens love their city and they project that out, as, you know, somebody said, you are what Google says you are. All of those things get in the marketplace, and people are able to digest those and read those. And so they're very important in terms of how you brand your community, not only to its existing residents, but then potential new residents. From a business standpoint, what we really try to do is take a look at those studies, because they all have their own methodology, and they all use different numbers, and they all use different demographics in determining how they rank those cities. And so what we really want to know is, what's that methodology? Because somewhere in that methodology, we're scoring really well, right? So is it college graduates? Is it ACT scores? Is it walkability? What are those factors that they're using to make those rankings? Those are the things that we'll tend to promote more out in the marketplace than the overall ranking. And so you might say, well, you know, this group said that, or this number says that Manhattan is one of the top 10 cities in high school graduation rates. And I don't know that that's right, but I'm just using that as an example. Because of that, then, you know, this group made Manhattan the number 3 city in the country for education. But really understanding, because there's so many of these, when we're using them to promote to companies, they're inundated with those studies. And so it's really those things, I hate to say this, are really irrelevant to corporate executives and site selectors, but the underlying factors aren't, right? So those are the things that we really try to highlight, is if livability has gone in and they've figured out that Manhattan ranks high in A, B, and C, and usually they've cited that to some source, we're going to promote the heck out of that.
Yeah, I would bet so. Yeah. Well, I love talking about those things whenever they come on.
Yep.
Whenever they come to us, and you get the information same time as we do.
Yep.
But it's always a real feather in the cap of any community to be listed in something like that. Especially, you know, we've had a pretty good track record of that.
Yeah, especially for a community this size, right? I mean, usually you think about larger communities getting these kinds of rankings. You know, an example, we really promote the Princeton Review Town and Gown Relationship Ranking. As we talk about that to potential clients, we will say, here's like 3 or 4 things that that why Manhattan is unique in our relationship between the community and the university. And so we list those 3 or 4 things, and we say, that's why Princeton Review ranked us as the number 2. We should be number 1, but I guess Clemson knocked us out this year. But you know what? Well, they got enough, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they should be eliminated.
We'll get there.
They already get stuff. So
we'll get there.
Yeah. So we'll get back there, right? Because we were there, and so they're fun to look at. But the underlying factors are what is really important, and so we really want to pay attention to what the methodology and underlying factors are.
All right. Well, we'll continue our conversation after the break here on News Radio KMAN.